Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week, we have my chum, the West End star. She's done so many shows, I can't begin to list them. It would be dull. But anyway, she's been on a little trip to Broadway and we had a chat about it. It is, of course, Ruthie Henschel. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. We've got a very special edition this week. It's always a special edition, but this week especially special because we've got Ruthie Henschel going to tell us about... Now, you've been to New York.
Yes.
On holidays?
On holidays, yes. It was my daughter's 16th. So we went to visit friends out there because that's where she wanted to go and she wanted to see a bit of theatre. And I have to say, I was not upset when she asked.
You
do
thought, that. Oh no, I've got to take my daughter to watch shows on Broadway.
No. What a rubbish holiday.
So what did you go and see?
We went to see something called The Band's Visit, The Prom, and also we went to see To Kill a Mockingbird, which was... they called it a new play because it was rewritten by Aaron Sorkin. Do you remember he did The West Wing?
Yes. That name, gosh, his name comes up in credits of loads of those big telly dramas.
Yes.
What's so rewritten?
He's rewritten it and he's made a lot more of the children. And in New York, the children are actually played by adults, but they are played brilliantly by adults. I mean, for me, the girl who played Scout is the star of the show. I can't remember in the film her being the star of the show because, of course, it was Gregory Peck.
Mm.
And when Gregory Peck is on screen, you know, it's just about him.
No one else is the star.
Mm. She was, I mean, superb. And the way that they made these relationships between these three kids, you know, the way Aaron Sorkin had written it, or rewritten it as such. I didn't know they could call it a new play, but that is what it's called, a new play.
Not an adaptation of?
No, yeah, not an adaptation. It said a new play by Aaron Sorkin. And it had Jeff Daniels playing the lead in it, and he... Here's my take on it. I'm going to preface this by the fact that I think he was having vocal problems because he was
okay.
He sounded like he had a few problems vocally, but he's very, very good. I mean, I remember him from lots of films, you know, the Divergent films, but before that, Dumb and Dumber, and he's, you know, very, very good. And he's, you know, well cast, but when, I keep going back to this, you know, when you've had Gregory Peck playing the iconic role in the iconic film, then you've got Jeff Daniels, who is great, but isn't as commanding. There's something for me that just misses the mark with him. I was trying to think when I was watching it who you would need to play that role, and I think it's got to be someone like a Tom Hanks, who when they walk on stage they've just got something that is so fundamentally
charismatic,
that is the perfect word. That, you know, whatever they're saying, you cannot take your eyes off them because the three kids just steal the play right out from under his hands.
Wanted to know, I've never been to see a show on Broadway in my life, ever. I have been to New York, but I've never been to the theatre there.
Have you not?
No.
That shocks me.
Well,
you're such an avid theatre lover.
I know. I just think I've never been there for long enough or never planned it in advance or whatever. And does it feel different? Does it feel like, as opposed to the West End, this is Broadway?
Yes.
Is there a different atmosphere about it?
I absolutely think there is. Because if you look at the difference between cultures, we are very, very different in our cultures. And so I think there's a different atmosphere. To Kill a Mockingbird is the, or, you know, one of the couple of hot tickets at the moment. You can't, mm-hmm. it's completely booked up. And you feel that when you're in New York, that you have got one of those tickets. You've got a golden ticket.
Yeah, it's special.
Yes. And I think that they also, they stand a lot.
What, standing ovations?
Yes. I went to see three shows over there and there were standing ovations for all of them. And I'm not saying, I mean, they were all good shows. But if these were shows in England, we would absolutely make a noise. But it's not the same. It's just not the same. There is a much more vocal...
Though I think standing ovations have become much more common than they used to be.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I do. Almost everything, especially with musicals, almost everything I've seen recently, and I've been reading Andrew Lloyd Webber's autobiography, and he calls it a OSO, I think, obligatory standing ovation.
Oh.
And I sort of think we're going a bit... And I used to be very, very clear about I'm only going to stand...
If I
absolutely think it's outstanding. And that used to be like once a year.
Yes.
But now you have to stand because everyone else has stood in front of you anyway.
That's right.
So then you're not going to see the curtain call if you don't stand. So and everyone does stand after about the third person's come on. Everybody's up. And they were last night when I went to see Waitress. Everybody just stood. They stood when we saw Come From Away, didn't they? Everyone just is up and they play you a song that everyone claps along to everybody's up.
That's it. And you kind of feel churlish.
It's almost a failure. Absolutely. You'd feel dreadful if you didn't.
Yes.
You'd feel absolutely like you were being, as you say, feeling really grim about it if you didn't stand up.
Yeah. And I think you might be right thinking about it. Recently, there has been a lot of shows that I've seen that are standing ovations. In England, you're right, because it used to be, when I first went over with Chicago, I remember the show came to an end, the audience stood, and I could not believe it, because it was, you know, 2 years down the line in New York. We people stood in the first few weeks of Chicago here in London, because it was this hot new show. But I couldn't get over. I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, is this an American audience? Because it was nuts.
Yeah.
The noise.
And do they whistle and do all that? Do they?
Yes. Yeah. And they shout, you know. Right.
There was a bit of that last night in Waitress. I think there were three Americans in the audience.
Yes.
So at the ends of songs, there were whoops and all of that noise thing, which we're not used to.
It's not British, is it? It's not.
Anyway, so that was your To Kill a Mockingbird straight play. And the other two are musicals.
The other two are musicals, and they could not have been more different. I mean, they were either end of the spectrum. You had The Prom, which
I'm guessing that's quite American, The Prom.
Very American. And as broad way as you can get. You know, it was broad performances. You know, face front, say your line, let the joke land, and then pull a face.
Yeah.
You know, it was real, you know, Broadway performances. And they were all great in it. I had a bit of an issue with the girl who was playing the lead in it, only because she was surrounded by these huge performances. And her kind of very much smaller performance didn't actually get her notice for the right reason. She just, for me, she just looked like she was in the wrong production. You can't say, oh, she was rubbish. It was just completely, it just wasn't in, she wasn't in the same show.
Mm.
And also the whole story was about this girl who wants to take her girlfriend to The Prom.
Oh, a gay love story?
A gay love story.
Okay, we've got Jamie all over again.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was very much along that line, but sort of Broadway version of. And I felt that they could have done so much with this part because it seemed to me that they'd gone down a real kind of, this is what a lesbian looks like. This is how we dress a lesbian. And this is, it seemed really, what is the word I'm looking for?
Stereotypical.
Stereotypical. Mm. Whereas it didn't need to be. She was just really bland within this unbelievable wheel of bright costumes, glitter, you know.
So the lesbian was the dull one.
The lesbian was the dull one. They picked a dull lesbian. Lesbians are not dull.
And some of us are,
put them
actually.
In a check shirt. Really don't put them in a check shirt and jeans.
Oh, no.
It was just, I felt that was a missed opportunity. And seeing as she's the lead of the show, it sort of was a bit like, But, you know, fantastic performances. If you love a broad Broadway show, you're going to love it. And what was great about it, there was a lady in it, Angie Schwara, who I know from my Chicago days. And that part was actually written for her, about her. She plays one of one of the leads. And when they were casting for it, they said, we're looking for an Angie Schwara kind of type. And someone went, well, why don't you get Angie Schwara? And so
they did.
let me think about that one. But then the following night, so we go from this. I mean, it's up. I would give it if 10 was big, it was an 11.
Right.
And we went to the band's visit, which I loved.
Oh.
It's beautiful. It's based on the film and it's about this orchestra that end up basically in the wrong town because there are two towns that have a similar name and they end up in the wrong one in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, really. And it's only, overnight that they have to stay, but they stay with various people in the village. It's not a come from away, but it is in the fact that it's how they touch each other's lives in that just that few hours. You've got the lonely lady. You've got the boy who can never ever get up the guts to ask out a girl. You know, it from the moment that it started, it's just has you because it's so real.
Mm. You're invested in it.
You're completely invested in it. It won the Tony for Best Musical. It won the Tony for the lady. I don't know about the rest, but. It was nominated for 11 Tonys and it won 10. And it's beautiful. There's no.
That's coming here, I think.
Hope so.
Well, if it is, I'm going to be first in line for a ticket for that. That sounds great.
I hope so. And bearing in mind that I went with a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old to all of these, I looked at my 14-year-old because I thought, well, there's no interval and I'm not really sure this will be her cup of tea because it was slightly slower moving. Well, she absolutely adored it. It was all of our favourite.
Oh, right.
And it's that they are an Egyptian orchestra and they go to an Israeli town. And it's beautiful.
So it's not set in America. I was assuming it was set in the States.
No, it's not set in the States. And it's beautiful. And the music is great and so funny. And the whole atmosphere, you are in Israel because of the style of the music, but they've done it so, so beautifully. And as it started, I really wasn't sure where I was. I wasn't sure if this was Broadway. absolutely lovely. It was my favourite piece.
So talking of pieces where people are in the wrong place, we both went to see Come From Away, which is nominated for lots and lots of Olivier Awards. And again, a piece that's come, well, this one from Canada. I think it was a massive hit in Canada. I know there's now productions in New York and Australia, which is about all the planes that were diverted during 9/11. So although ostensibly it's about 9/11, it actually isn't at all, is it?
No, it's
about... and that, I thought that was smaller than when we're talking about these enormous performances.
Yes.
It was just a completely ensemble piece, which is why I loved it, because I think there's 12 in the cast, aren't there? And they play all the parts.
Yes.
And they play the people who live in the town and the people whose planes have been diverted and they land there. And it's like getting on a train and it goes for an hour and 40 minutes and it doesn't stop.
Goodness,
and then again, it's no interval, which made me think maybe this is the latest thing as well now. We seem to be going to see a lot of things without intervals.
Yes. And also as a performer, can we just talk about the fact that that's a win-win situation?
Yeah. Well, it is because
you're home early.
It's a win-win for everyone except the theatres, who I presume are losing money in their
waitress
last night in the interval. You do notice this. So we walk out and I said, it's all about a waitress who bakes pies. I need to make that clear. That won't be spoiling anything for
no.
you.
Okay.
They spray pie smell in the theatre. No, I swear they do. So I left at the interval to go and get an ice cream and I thought, I can smell cinnamon pie. Properly smell it. And then noticed everyone else was talking about that too. And then, of course, they're making, you can go and buy the recipe books for the pies at the merchandise stall and all that. So I'm just thinking about, if you don't have an interval, you lose the drinks tray and the ice cream. I mean, £4 an ice cream, you lost that, haven't you, if you don't have an interval?
Well, but you'll also lose have your... little pies?
That you can buy?
Yes.
Well, probably.
In jars.
I didn't get that far.
Yes,
I only got
have...
to the ice cream bit.
Ah.
And the pie smell, which they clearly squirt.
Yes.
It's a smellorama thing.
Well, so when you want to sell a house, you put the coffee
on,
don't you?
Yeah, and you go out for the interval and at the end, and they've squirted, well, wherever it comes from, pie smell, cinnamon pie smell. It's very, very Broadway. One day I will go to Broadway and I will see a show on Broadway.
Oh, you must.
I've got
you
to
must.
Do that,
it
haven't
isn't it? Yeah, it is an experience.
Do they dress up? Do the crowd, the audience,
no.
or not? So the same as the West End.
Same as
no
the West
gets.
End.
Do you remember
no.
the days we used to get dressed up to go to the theatre?
I know.
Do you remember that?
You never went to the theatre in your jeans.
No, you always got dressed up for the theatre. And now, sadly, I don't even bother anymore.
No.
By the time you've got dressed up, then you've got to get the tube into town and then it's windy and rainy like it is now and you think, well, it's all ruined anyway. Made all that effort. It's not going to look like I've made an effort.
No, I'm not going to curl my hair, nothing.
No.
I'm just going to stay up in a
You're going to have to be dressed up for the Olivier Awards. We'll be in the basement and you'll be dressed up and I won't be. And that's how it works, really.
Yeah, but there's something really quite lovely about being dressed up at the Olivier's, even if you're not being seen.
Well, I'll leave that bit to you.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Ruthie.
Pleasure.
I'll see you in the basement of the Albert Hall.
Oh, I do look forward to that.
It's, so do I.
It's a yearly treat.
It is. We'll be there.
I'll see you then.
See you then. Thank you for listening to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast with myself, Alice Arnold, and my mate, Ruthie Henschel. If you enjoyed it, then why not subscribe? Then you can listen to it every week, and you can review it as well. Give it 5 stars. Go on, you know you want to.